time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
It begins. Joining us, the host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, the Bill Carroll Show, coast to coast, Fridays at noon. Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Sorry, guys. Exhausted, you know, running around to restaurants and sitting on patios and going to... There's so much open here. So much open.
Okay.
Yeah, but you described it all to us on Monday, and it sounded like hot garbage. It didn't sound like a good time at all.
It got better?
Well, I'm trying to make you feel better, so don't let the facts get in the way.
Okay.
It's still better than nothing, but it's a little weird. Although I went to another patio, no one was wearing masks, not even the staff. I don't understand the rules. And I don't think anyone else does.
It's because we only suggest you wear a mask. Right.
Our masks on public transit here are mandatory. And if you don't wear them, nothing will happen.
Ooh. Okay. That was good. Joining us as well, the executive director at The Walrus, Jennifer Hollett. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Jay, Ryan, and Bill. Nice to hear your voices.
You too.
Yeah, it's good to hear yours as well. Let's start off. We're getting a lot of pushback on this idea today. Both the federal government and the provincial government here in Ontario have announced that they will be taking part in the COVID-19 tracing app. It's going to be used here in Ontario as of July. Here's our own Haley Cooper from our newsroom breaking down exactly what it is and what it does.
People simply need to download the app and keep it running in the background of their Android or iPhone device without using any GPS or location tracking. Bluetooth technology then notes when a user is in the vicinity of another user. It's able to log physical distance, which is crucial. If someone tests positive, they can agree to send out a push notification to anyone the data shows spent 10 minutes or more in close contact with them. All data is destroyed after 14 days, and no personal information is ever required.
Bill, the premier says, everybody should get this on their phone. This is how other countries have dealt with this issue, and it's been successful. Will you download it on yours?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I wouldn't today because I feel like the numbers are really low. But if we have a comeback of this virus in the fall, if it means I can still go about my everyday business and not be locked down, then yeah, I would. But I understand why people are concerned. Look, it's got a really Big Brother vibe to it, doesn't it? And you're putting a lot of trust in people you don't know, governments and tech guys who are always telling you things are going to work, and they never do. We got a federal government that still doesn't know how to pay its employees because they can't figure out a basic payroll system. So I get that people are a little nervous, but the reality is, how much of our freedom have we given up in the last 3 months that we're suddenly holding on to this last bit of privacy when I think there are enough reassurances in place there? But I don't think many people will do it, so I don't know that it's really going to be successful. But yes, I would.
All right. You're a patriot, Bill. Jen, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I'm glad to hear that the Ontario Digital Service is working with volunteer teams from Shopify and BlackBerry. I mean, this is the type of work they should be doing and exploring. But something like this comes back to trust. Do we trust government? Do we trust big tech? These are two sectors that the average person says, hell no. And even though we're told no personal or medical info or no GPS location data will be collected, it's really dependent on volunteers downloading it. And even though I've run for office, you know, I come from big tech. I worked at Twitter before.
I didn't want to mention any of that, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, this is definitely the space I'm in. And even I'm a bit like, yeah, that's not the top app I'm looking to download right now. So,
well, can I ask
I think it's important that it's being explored, but I'm very curious to see the buy-in because there's just a lack of trust for both tech and
but,
government.
But you worked in tech, so answer me this. Because on the trust issue, if government really wants to track me, can't they already do that? Do they need this elaborate app to do that? It sounds to me like that information is already available for a tech company that really wants it or a government that really wants it. That's why, to me, I'm not as concerned about that because it's already being done in all likelihood if they really want to do it.
Valid question. It'll be interesting to look at the data down the road as well. But I mean, I think you nailed it, Ryan, when you said, you know, look at your phone right now. Look at how many apps are running in the background of your phone right this minute and try and figure out just how many of them you actually remember downloading when you just clicked on the app permission and just let it look at your location. So many people have already done it with so many apps.
Yeah, and for nothing, for a lot less than trying to prevent a deadly virus from spreading. Let's move on to an issue that kind of was sparked by the COVID-19 virus. This woman put a camera in her mother's room in a long-term care facility the day before the lockdown actually occurred. What came next was just unbelievably shocking. Take a listen to this.
There was a man in my mom's bed coughing on her pillows, on her blankets, and her bedding didn't get changed. She's gonna get sick for sure. I want people to be aware. I want people to help to make a change. I think the government needs to take over the long-term care homes.
The footage showed residents wandering into her mother's private bedroom, one guy seen coughing on her blanket, another a woman rearranging her mom's knickknacks, another looking out the window, a fourth man sitting on the end of her bed, on the end of her mom's bed while she was in it, Jen. This to me says that we should have cameras in these facilities, that people who have loved ones in there should have the right to do it no matter what the unions say.
Well, Stephanie Kozilski, the name of the daughter, she is hardcore installing a camera to watch your mom. That's a love language, right? Like, I just thought, like, wow, I'd never even think of that. And management knew about the camera. So everything that has been shared, management was aware of it. And I was listening to everyone call in discuss this. And a caller earlier brought up that it raises the larger questions, the ongoing stories about the problems with long-term care. And I don't put this on the personal support workers because they're overworked and underpaid and on contract. And we've seen going from many home to home. But we're seeing how the institutions are failing those who are not only most vulnerable, but the biggest loves of our life.
Bill, I've watched the video, and I think to myself, if that was my loved one, man, going to the media wouldn't be the only thing I'd be doing.
Yeah, and it's really sad, that not just for this poor woman, but, I mean, look like Pearson Airport pre-COVID in a room. People are in and out all the time. I don't know, what's the alternative? Lock everyone in the rooms all the time? This is not an easy thing. Just to make it simple, I would not put my mother, and she's at the age now where she's starting to have memory problems and she's having a lot of issues, and we've looked at a home because we can't take care of her. Not now, not under these circumstances, but definitely not. I would not put her in a home that would not allow me to have a camera in a room. Period. Simple as that.
Also such a great opportunity for people that are doing a great job. And there are tons of great people in long-term care that really, truly love what they do. And it's a little bit of a opportunity to sort of repair what's a dysfunctional relationship, what's been a bad relationship for, we're being told, decades, right? What a great opportunity to put together some anecdotal evidence and rebuild that trust between the people that work with the ones you love and family members as well. I think it's a great idea.
You also don't have a right as an employee to privacy in my mother's room. You don't. You've given up that right. You're on the job. Pay attention. Now, this is like all of us claiming our privacy is being violated right now because we're on the air. That's our job. It's their job. Do your job. You're mindful of the camera being there. That's all you need to know. Once you've been informed, behave accordingly.
I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but you're both smart people, and I think you can answer this question with a lot of common sense behind it. Bruce Arenas, who is the former United States men's soccer coach, he actually coached World Cup soccer. He now coaches the New England Revolution in MLS, in Major League Soccer. He has been out today talking about the national anthem and its place before sporting events. I want you to just have a listen as to what he had to say when it comes to the anthem itself and some of its, history. Have a listen to what he had to say.
I believe the history of the anthem was it was brought in after World War II to kind of celebrate the baseball players and the people and our soldiers that participated in World War II. And then it was obviously extended to other sports to where it is today. And I think it puts people in awkward positions. We don't use the national anthem in movie theaters and on Broadway, other events in the United States. And I don't think it's appropriate to have a national anthem before a baseball game, an MLS game. But having said that, I want it understood. I am very patriotic, but I just think it's inappropriate. And today it's becoming too big of an issue.
Bill, where do you stand on that?
I don't think it's inappropriate, but I think it's unnecessary, because there was a time when they played the national anthem in movie theaters before movies, and when TV stations signed off the air, they used to do that. They'd play the national anthem, and you know, I worked at a radio station when I started out that came on at 6 a.m., and we had to play the national anthem. That was the law. So, you know, but it's, are we not a little tired Because I've really come to think, when we get upset with someone who takes a knee at a football game, is this really, we're just really expressing our racism? Because I'm starting to think we are. Like, you'd never hear anyone complain about NHL players, mostly white guys, who skate away halfway through the national anthem, or crowds who've added their own little words that they shout out to their team in the middle of the national anthem, right? I mean, nobody's acting respectfully. They're shifting back and forth on their skates and spitting out their gum, and maybe it's just time to move on from that notion. Political events, special occasions, Olympics, stuff like that. Yep. Yes. But mm-hmm. every hockey game, soccer game, football, I just don't think it's necessary anymore.
Jen?
So I grew up both in Canada and the U.S. I was born in Canada, but did some of my schooling actually in the Boston area. And when I think of national anthem, be it American or Canadian, I think over the years where I've heard it, and it's been at school, it's been in sports, it's been on days like Canada Day, 4th of July. And I think there's a lot of tradition in history, but this of all times is the time to be having the conversation, which is what is the history of the anthem? You know, when do we listen to it? What does it mean to us? So I think it's a great question to be asking, and it's one I'm going to have to give more thought, because, you know, I haven't thought much beyond it, behind some of the conversations regarding changing the lyrics and the evolution of our own national anthem, which I think, you know, has been the right direction. And I think the conversation will continue.
I think the only thing I'm really going to miss when we get rid of the anthem is the quirky singers from around the different leagues. You know, the guy that's been a fireman for 35 years and sings it in Boston, and he's got like hand signals that he does at the end. Or, you know, the Kate Smith era with your Philadelphia Flyers. Like, that was a massive thing. But, I mean, it's a pretty easy thing to get over. If what we're going to miss, it's like mascots in sport, right? Would we really miss it if we lost... If we lost mascots, I mean, obviously the anthem is certainly more historical in a way. Yeah, I got myself. I'm just digging out. This is me downshifting and trying to get myself out of the quagmire.
Maybe we should have flag mascot. You know, somebody dressed in a big flag suit to run around. Would you like that? But you know what? I got to say, when I lived in LA and I'd go to a Kings game and the Canadian national anthem would play, felt pretty good. When you're out of your country and you're reminded of home, man, I stood more tall and sang loudly more than I ever did at any Leaf game. So, you know, I do like it in a way. It's just why sports and nowhere else? That's really the question. And so I think it's a valid one. You know, you're out getting a beer while they're singing the national anthem in the other room, and don't rush back with the beer just yet. I don't know. Are we showing it that much respect? Because I don't think we are.
Also, Bill, there's so many Canadians in Los Angeles, too, that you probably could actually hear all of you singing during the Canadian national anthem.
If you took the Canadians out of a Kings game, there'd be no one left. Would be empty.
Jen, you know, a lot of people are writing in saying, well, if it's going to be out of sporting events, then what about schools? I'm not sure that flies, because I think school is a bit of a different beast.
Well, I think also what's happening in the school is changing a lot. So, for example, some of my friends, you know, they told me that at their kids' schools, In Canada, there are land acknowledgements done, and that was something that not only was done when I was growing up, but it wasn't even properly taught in our history classes. So this is, you know, part of our larger look at education and why we do what we do in teachable moments. So I think that there's a lot of conversations coming out of sport that affects our larger culture, and right now sport is being redesigned because of COVID, but I think we're seeing that it's extending and pushing beyond that.
Let's just remember the headline out of all of this today, folks, if you're writing it down, is that Jay Michaels compares Canadian national anthem to Carlton the Bear. Jen, Bill, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.